such a awesome series to me because I have been reminded. Oh, I was supposed to call Children's Church. My bad. Children's Church is open. Our children is here. Amen. So. My bad about that. Sorry, babe. I'm apologizing. I was just cooking chicken today. I don't want to be left out. Amen. So, as I've stated before, this has been such an awesome series to me because I have been reminded that walking in wisdom at all times is always not just the smartest thing to do, but it's also the best. It's not just the smartest thing to do. It's not the wisest thing. You know, it's not just the wisest thing to walk in wisdom. It is also the best thing. And it's a difference. There's a difference. And the reason that it's always best to walk in wisdom, write this down, is because to not operate in wisdom is to operate contrary or opposite of wisdom. To not walk in wisdom is to walk contrary or to walk opposite of wisdom. And that's deep because we all know that the opposite of wisdom is ignorance. But let's take it a little deeper. And when I Googled what is the opposite of wisdom, it said ignorance, watch this, absurdity and folly, which is foolishness. And if you come greeting where within a 100-mile radius of where I come from, the streets, we're really big on that word, foolishness. We tell you how we feel about something, especially if it brings disdain or it brings shame or we just don't like it or it's just a trip how they're operating because we'll say something like, man, they don't pray foolishness. And you understand what I'm saying to you? And so not only are is operating in contrary to wisdom, absurdity, ignorance, it's absurdity. So for those of you that ain't from the hood and you're kind of a student in your education, you know, it's absurd the way some of us be acting. I want you to get with this, and I want to deal with this real quickly. Now, I always say this, don't be ashamed when you find yourself ignorant in certain areas or certain topics. Because that's just something you don't know. There's no reason to be ashamed of something you just don't know. You understand what I'm saying to you? And no one keeps, and no one knows everything. Everyone at one point or another has to learn something. This is why when you went to school and they was trying to teach you how to spell your name, you know, they didn't make fun of you. They didn't make you feel bad about yourself. They didn't dog you when you didn't even know how to form the letters to form your name. Because they understood that there's no shame in not knowing, baby. You're coming straight from the house to us. We're teaching you. This is going to be, and it's sad because we ought to be learning at home. We ought to be teaching them at home. But teachers understand there may not be a learning situation going on at the house. So you don't have to feel bad for what you don't know when you walk in here. So there is no shame in ignorance. And the bright side to ignorance is that it can be remedied with wisdom and with knowledge. There is nothing that you don't know that you can't learn. Amen? Being ignorant to something you didn't have to be. Now, I want to back that thing up. Because here's what is shameful. And here's what needs to be dealt with. Being ignorant to something you didn't have to be ignorant to. In fact, that isn't ignorance. That's just stupidity. When you are ignorant to something that you did not have to be ignorant to, that is not ignorance. That's, in actuality, stupidity. And it's not just stupidity. Watch this. It's silliness. It's willful stupidity. When you could have known something but refused the knowledge or the wisdom on it. Now I want to be very clear about what I'm saying here. I want to be very clear. I'm talking about things that matter. I ain't talking about just anything. I'm talking about things that matter. Amen. We as a people have a tendency to get caught up in things that don't matter. We put all our time and energy into things that just don't matter. I bring up Candy Crush is because we have a mass amount of self-proclaiming Christians who spend more time on Candy Crush than on the things of God. You understand what I'm saying? They can explain certain rules on Candy Crush, but can't explain grace. Yeah, that's a problem. You can explain the rules of Candy Crush, but you can't explain the rules of grace, the law of grace. They can tell you how to get off of a certain board, but can't tell you how to get out of sin. And I want to go ahead and make this plain. I'm not coming for those of you who play Candy Crush. In fact, I enjoy the game Words with Friends. You understand? But not at the expense of my time with God, not at the expense of my study time, and not at the expense of the time with my wife and my daughter. Everything has its place. Everything has its place. I don't pay for the, you know, Shaniqua and I, we play Words with Friends and we battle. I'm talking about we'll play five games or I get done with everything I gotta do. So it's just me and her on this game. And we talk bad to each other on there too. Ooh, I know that hurts you. Ooh, you feel stupid. Ooh, you probably need night school. You know, we go through all that, right? Because we be putting these words together. And I'm determined that she cheats every time that she wins, but she says she's just smart. But there's this thing that pops up and it tells me that I could find out where words are and I could get extra letters and I could swap and not have to pass if I pay. I ain't paying nothing. But we got folks that are paid for the extra time on Candy Crush, but won't pay their time. They'll pay Candy Crush, they'll pay Burger King, they pay McDonald's, they pay Smart Brand. They pay everybody. But when it comes to the things of God, all of a sudden we ain't time for all that. You see, all they want is your money. No, that's the 2-for-1 drink special at the club that wants your money. We want to help your soul. Amen. So, if we as a Christian community are ever going to be the force that we were designed to be, if we were ever going to be what we were designed to be, if we are ever going to see the sick healed, the dead raised, if we are ever going to see the violence decrease, then we are going to have to become serious about reprioritizing in our lives. I need to take this a little further because the Holy Spirit said something to me this morning while I was working on this, and it really dealt with me and made me utter the words, "Lord, I'm sorry." God ever deal with you to the point to where you just mouth out right then and there, "I am sorry." You understand what I'm saying? God ever reveal something to you that made you just stop right there and be like, and you just felt the condemnation, you just felt the conviction, you just felt the slap across your face, and you just had to just apologize, right? "I am sorry." And what happened was, the Holy Spirit said to me, it's also a shame. I want you to catch this, because this is deep. He said, "It's also a shame when people around us, especially children, are ignorant in areas that they shouldn't be, simply because the adults in their lives didn't take proper time to educate their children. That's shameful. It is shameful when the children that we are connected to in any way, whether it be parenting, whether it be the auntie, the uncle, whether it be the godfather, whatever it be, those children should never grow up ignorant to things that they should have been taught while growing up." And the problem that we have in this 21st century is we got too many mamas looking for bull in bay. You understand what I'm saying to you? We got too many daddies that's more concerned with the game than they are concerned with the mentality of their child. And so they call bonding with their kids playing the game, and the game is desensitizing our children to not feel human anymore. And so now they got games with gum grips that and you feel it as you're letting go. And then all of a sudden you begin to think, "I wonder what this And you begin to, you ever shoot your enemy on the game? You ever dislike somebody and you playing the game and all of a sudden you saw who you dislike? Well, the problem is that's happening in the world today. And the problem with that is when the situation presents itself and the funk goes down, you understand what I'm saying to you? Now all of a sudden I have the opportunity to operate in real life with my real enemy as I operated in the game. And I ain't got too much, I don't have too much care for human life because I spend most of my time with my father playing a game that says life isn't important. Kill, kill, kill. Murder, murder, murder. The Holy Ghost said that's a shame. What is a shame when it comes to ignorance is when our children are growing up ignorant to things that they ought not be, simply because we as parents, we as guardians, we as adult figures, role models in their lives, fail to do our jobs. Many of you have heard me talk about I don't know how to tie a tie. And the Spirit of the Lord told me to go and bring this whole thing out. And the main reason that I don't know how to tie a tie is because as I grew up in a house of women and they didn't wear ties. You understand what I'm saying to you? So whenever I had to wear a tie, or I have to wear a tie, my mom would have someone tie it, and that was that. Or even today, you know, I'll call Kevin or I'll call Kenneth, and I'll say, hey, man, I got this tie on the desk, man. I need you to hook that up for me, you know what I'm saying? And this is how I need it to be, or this, that, and the other. They got me together. You see, they get me together. You understand what I'm saying to you? But for the most part, I just stopped wearing ties. Or it's something to that. I want you to catch this, parents. Since it didn't seem important enough for someone to teach me, my mind decided it wasn't important enough for me to know. And a part of the end result is, for the most part, I just don't wear ties. Now let's take it deeper. No one ever taught me how to deal with women either. No one ever taught me how to deal with women. Now just because I was raised by my mother and my grandmother doesn't mean that I was taught how to treat them. You understand what I'm saying to you? And just because I love them and care for them doesn't mean that I'm going to love and care for the women that I would grow up and begin to know intimately. Oh, Lord. You see, that's my mama. That's my Gigi. I naturally love them. It ain't hard to love them. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the women that would come, that I would meet in my life, I don't naturally love them. And without real wisdom on how to treat and care for all women, then all women who come into my sphere are potential victims. Do you understand now why it is so vitally important to build families where the children will have a balanced realm of wisdom on how life works, should work, and how to work in it despite what they see in the world? Because there's all types of training going on with our babies all over the world. It's the training that you are or are not giving, but you better believe the streets is training them. The friends is training them. The teachers are training them. The professors are training them. So if you lack training, your child, lack in the areas of training your child, don't worry. Don't worry or be very worried. Somebody gonna train them. Lord have mercy. And watch this. I gotta take this deeper. And so I want to talk to the mamas. If you have children and the father is not around because there needs to be a balance, or there is a negative influence, or the father is a negative influence in that child's life, then mama, it is your responsibility to find the most positive man that you know and connect him in your child's life. I said a whole lot right there. I was dating a woman once upon a time, and she had a son, and the son's father was in prison, and so it wasn't enough that she was dating a drug dealer. It wasn't enough that she was dating someone that smoked weed freely in the crib, drank freely in the crib. It wasn't enough that she saw a man. He saw a man that wasn't his father laying up with his mother, you know, every now and again, because she was my chick, but she ain't the one. So I'm here every now and then, but I run things. It wasn't enough. All of that. So when dad would write, when dad would write from prison, And here's me. I'm going to show you how you see the confused, the blind leading the blind, you understand, deceiving and being deceived. I would have the nerve to say something like, see, that's why he don't need to be around. He's putting gang signs in pictures from prison. But, you know, forget the fact that I sell dope. Forget the fact that I smoke a weed all through the house. Forget the fact that I drink on a constant basis. Forget the fact that I'm fornicating with his mother right in front of him. You know, forget all of that. He shouldn't be around his father because his father is negative two. Sometimes one of the best things you can do is keep your children from the one that ain't right in the head. You understand what I'm saying to you? So get this. If the father's not around or there's not a complete balance, then mama, you need to find the most positive man that you have in your life and connect him. And he's got to be positive. He can't be kind of positive. He can't be positive on Wednesdays. He's got to be a man. And watch this. And that's whether your child is a boy or a girl. Let's take this deeper. Because this is why we're losing our girls, because we always put the focus on the boy. A boy needs his daddy. A boy, no, baby. A daughter needs her daddy too, because a daughter needs to see what a real man looks like. A daughter needs to see how, she needs to understand how a real man thinks. You understand what I'm saying to you? And if you don't bring a real man with a real thought process, with the right things on his mind around your daughter, what you are doing, parents, what you are doing is setting your child up, setting your daughter up to be the side chick. You're setting your daughter up to be the stripper. You're setting your daughter up to be the chick in the alley right now that's doing an ungodlike thing for an ungodlike time. What you are doing is setting your daughter up for being a potential victim. Yeah. Yeah, and I respect all single mamas, because I was a single father when I lost my wife. I raised my children for a while on my own. I get it. It is crazy, but I want you to understand this, and you can tell them all the stuff that you need to know, but it will not be enough for you to try to explain the mind of a man to your daughter, because you're not a man. And let me tell you another reason why women shouldn't put themselves in the position of trying to explain a man's mind to their daughter or to their son. Not one, because you're not a man, but two, you got to be careful, because most times when mama wants to talk about the man, she's teaching from a place of pain. She's teaching from a place of betrayal. She's teaching from a place of heartache. So watch this. Her vision or her perception of a man could be jaded. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And I'm convinced, did you hear me? I said, I am convinced that many of our young ladies are turning to young ladies in an intimate sense. One, because they've seen mama be done wrong so many times, they have decided they just rather not deal with a man. Can I take it deeper? And then growing up as mama deals with one failed relationship after the next, not only are they seeing mama's hurt, but watch this, they are hearing mama and mama's friends constantly talk about how men ain't. Now she's growing up. She's watching her be hurt. She's watching the most important woman, the most important example in her life be done in and done in and done in and done in. She's watching her be whooped. She's watching her be played. She's watching the money go out of the house and not coming back in. Investment-wise, she's struggling on the strength that mama can't get it together with these men. And on the strength of that, mama's talking to the other friends about how men ain't, you know. Why would I, she thinks, grow up and mess with that? And it's at a reckless age as children, you know, when us men, we like you, we throw mud on you as kids, we beat you up when we like you, you know, and so now you got all of that popping off with the girl. You know, he think you fly, so he punched you to let you know, but you didn't know that woman, and so you just thought, this is just what I saw in the house, Lord have mercy. And so, but watch this, but my best friend, she's cool, she listens to me. You see this? The systematic setup. Yeah. And we're trying to figure out why a little baby girl decided to mess with women instead of men. Maybe. And I want you to hear me good, because this isn't in every sense. You hear what I said? I don't want to be on social media trying to hit me up and, you know, trying to ride for me or whatever. Don't not come back because you took this the wrong way. Listen, I'm saying to you, and I'm not saying everyone. I'm not saying every situation. You understand what I'm saying to you? Hear me good. What's that got to do with wisdom? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Now, so single folk, let me talk to you real quick. And married folk, you don't get away. Because I'm amazed at how married folk get married and then get forgetful. You get married and then you forget how it was to be single. So you shake your head at the single person's mess like you wasn't messy when you were single. And can I just go ahead and say this? A whole lot of married folk ain't happily married. You understand what I'm saying to you? And a whole lot of married folk ain't delivered. You got married not necessarily because she was crazy in love. You got married. Oh, I mean, you got married because my mind was telling me no. But my body. And your body kept telling you yes. And so the way that you would remedy that, you understand what I'm saying to you? Because I'm lightweight saved, and I lightweight want to go to heaven, and I keep on having sex without marriage, and I'm going to end up going to hell. So you know what? I got married. And watch this. And I found out that when I got married, that didn't deliver me from my lust issues. See, when you're in love, somebody say in love. Y'all make me feel like I don't know nothing about it. Somebody say in love. When you're in love, watch this. I you know, Shawty can shake it however she wants to, and I'm looking over here, little mama, like, you know, who I married, like, you are a beast. I can't wait to get you on this sudden looking over here. You understand? When you in love, I don't care what type, you know, sexy dicks come out with the two small tank tops and all that, and her head don't turn. She don't be like, woo. You know, all that is letting you know something. What? Is that you've got lust issues that have yet to be dealt with. You understand what I'm saying to you? I thought this was church. You're right. 21st century church. And the reason that we don't, and because we don't teach like this, is why our church kids is on the pole. Our church kids is in prison. Our church kids, because everybody was worried about being theologically sound and look deep and being fly when they walked into the church. Man, I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to keep your baby out of prison. I don't want to have to go to court and talk for your kids. You understand what I'm saying to you? We need to talk about these real things going on and how Jesus gives us the opportunity to live in this sin-filled world sinlessly. Yeah, everybody don't have to be a victim. So let me talk about wisdom to single folk real quick. And you have to, listen to this, you have to use the wisdom of God when choosing a mate. We getting ready to be real here. All right. Just my language. I got a few babies in here. How many of you men and women in here wish you had, and this is for the single end of the marriage, how many of you wish you had take back power? You know what I'm saying? You know, what you mean, Pastor? If I could go back and just take that one back. If I could take that relationship back. If I could take her back. If I could take it. What was I on my mind? I had to blame it on the alcohol. Can I take that one back? How many of you would take one or two back? Amen? Come on, tell the truth. Shame the devil. How many? You proud of every one of them? I doubt it. Every one of them was a bomb. I doubt it. You know how you know? Because you ain't with them. You ain't with every one of them. Now let's just take this a little bit. You know, you just wish you had that take back power. And watch this. Not just take back that person. Watch out. Watch this. But take back everything that came with them. Because some of y'all would say, Lord, you know I'm going to go, don't you? See, because the problem with some of y'all in here was y'all begin to manipulate my question as soon as I ask it. Yeah, I'd take him back, but I'd keep the. Tell the truth, shame the devil. It wasn't the purse that kept you. It wasn't the spending spree. You know, you can find any. You got to spend some money on you. You understand what I'm saying? You can find any woman to spend some money on you. That wasn't what it was. Can we just talk real in here? Some of you would take them back but keep the physicality of it. And that's the whole problem. That's the whole problem. The fact that in times past, you didn't use godly wisdom and you messed around and had sex before you got married, then you got turned out, and now the physicality of the relationship is the god of the relationship. And the physicality of the relationship is the god of you. So now that physicality got you operating in absurdity. that physicality got you operating in foolishness. How many of you just real enough to admit physicality had me stupid? Yeah. See, and this is why God's system is the coldest system in the world. We try to I don't know why you would marry somebody you ain't never, so you don't be stupid. That's why. And, you know, and for those of us that have went there before marriage, now you play the compare game. Oh Lord, help me. James made you happy, but James beat you up. Freddie, he ain't a champ there, but he loved you. But if you didn't have James to compare Freddie to, you wouldn't trip about what Freddie was, because he'd be everything James. Am I talking in here? Huh? Am I being real in here, bro? I know y'all came to, I don't got that for you, but what I got for you might just save your life. James had you woo, but also, you know, had to get a restraining order. Freddie paid the bills. Freddie took care of kids that didn't have his bloodline. You understand what I'm saying to you? Freddie loved you. But because Freddie can't do what James done physically, watch this. You can't really get into Freddie because you're still into James. But Freddie wouldn't beat you up physically either. Not to beat you up you like.
Yeah.
And because of this, we stop operating in wisdom. And we begin to operate in our flesh, in our carnality. Go ahead, let me make a church. She ain't gonna give me some scripture. Go ahead, let me make a church. He ain't said one scripture yet. He talking about sex and all that. I don't know if I'm coming back here. You better. Can I tell you why you better? Because look at all these churches I went to before here. Look at all of them. How many of them was talking about this? And how many, can I just ask a few people here, how many would have been better off had they heard this from the beginning? Instead of getting played for a number, to be a number in a pew or in a chair, instead of getting played and pimped for your tithe. How many of you would have been better off just to come hear the truth? Lord, have mercy. James 1, 5 and 6 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it would be given to you. Now, hold on. If any of you, he says it's not just for the church folk. It isn't just for the ones that's got it all together. He says if you lack wisdom, watch this, and he doesn't say when it comes to your money. He doesn't say when it comes to your mate. He doesn't say when it comes to your job. He doesn't say when it comes to your kids. He says, if you lack wisdom, and he leaves it there, what's that mean? In any situation, if you lack wisdom. Have you ever said something like this? I'm really trying to figure out what to do. I really don't know what to do. And I'm trying to figure this out. This is on my mind. Man, this got me tripping. He says, when you're tripping, holler at me. I ain't say if you say and lack wisdom. I didn't say if you tithe and lack wisdom. I said if any of you, because see, when you read the Bible, everybody wasn't saved when they first read the Bible. I wasn't. So what the Bible was saying it to me. If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So in other words, God doesn't do this. Why are you coming to me about something like that? You should know that. No. You lack wisdom. Why? Because you wasn't taught in that area. See, and when God gives you the wisdom on that moment right there, you'll never have to go back to God for that wisdom again. Why? Because now you are knowledgeable where you were once ignorant. You with me? He says, and when you lack this wisdom and you ask God, watch this, here's the promise, it will be given to you. He says, and it will be given to you. There's a promise. Dwayne, that's a promise, isn't it? He says, it will be given to you. Here's the problem that we have in the 21st century church. We asking everybody for wisdom but God. I was sitting in prison one day, and you know, I'm facing 20 to life in one city, 10 flat in another, and I done the dumbest thing in the world. Guess what I done? I asked somebody that was locked up with me what I ought to do. We get in jail and get real smart. How about being smart outside of jail, then don't go to jail? I'm sitting there going, man, you see this? Why in the world do I care about anything you think? You were here with me. You see, man, what lawyer, man? What lawyer you think on? First of all, let me just go ahead and tell somebody who's warned me Nino Browns. You understand what I'm saying on social media? If I got any more of me Nino Browns in here, first of all, if you got to go to jail and then get your lawyer, you already lost in the game. That's about all the game I'm going to give you on hustling. If you got to go to jail and get your lawyer, you already lost. You might as well go on suit up. You going down. This is not the employment for you. What do? They get in there. Who's your lawyer? What's it matter? Who's your lawyer? Let me get out of this. And so when I got saved, I began to understand. See, I wasn't saved all the other times in prison, all the other times in jail. But now I'm saved, and I begin to remember, because the Holy Spirit will bring everything back to your remembrance. And I begin to remember that no matter how dope these lawyers were, they were still men, and they will take your money and let you down. So guess what I decided? I said, you know what? I'm going to put this in. And I got proof. I got people that was there. When my lawyer came down in Louisville and sent me the motion through the thing, and I sent it right back, I said, this ain't my fight. You do what you're supposed to do. But Frank, I'm going to show you a miracle. I got to the point in my walk where I was saying, this is going to turn out however God wants it to. And I knew that I was going to walk this walk from here on out, so I was going to have to take chances right now. I'm going to have to make a choice. Am I going to be for real about this thing? And since I was for real about it in the street, I better be for real about it when it comes to the kingdom. So Franklin Jewell, you can call him, he'll tell you all about it. And he slid it to me. He said, okay, so I want you to look at this. I slid it back and I said, Frank, you believe in God? He said, I said, I'm going to show you a miracle. You take that back and ain't mine. This ain't my fight. And we never talked my case again. 11 months more, and we never talked my case, because I wouldn't talk to him about it. I just said, let me pray on that and I'll tell you. He just began to say, here's what they said. How do you feel? And it got to the point where I would say, after 11 months after I said, he just said, I need to come back to you. Yeah, I'll call you. See, because I needed to find out how God felt on the matter. There was no longer how men saw the matter, because men didn't own me. The blood did. Man didn't pay for me, the blood did. You understand what I'm saying to you? So what I needed to go to was my God and find out, what is it that you have for me? Because if it's, and I told him, as a matter of public record, I told the judge, she said, you admitted everything. What? I'd rather be free in my mind than free on the street. So I serve a God that if I got a new life, he'll do every day with me. See, so I'm okay however this plays out. Okay however this plays out. So he says, if you lack wisdom on any level, single people, on your mate, you better be making a godly decision. Because if it's not a godly decision, it's not a quality decision. Married people, you better learn how to rejuvenate your marriage in Christ. Because what happens in marriage is we make who we marry to our God. Most oftentimes, you know, every now and then you see an overly strong woman and she's the God of the relationship. But most times, the women begin to worship us men to the point to where they just give up what God said about it. I mean, you my man, you my king, I'm a follower. You know, he ain't your king, he your husband. Jesus is your king. In fact, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Stop giving people titles that don't belong to them. You understand what I'm saying to you? Look at verse number 6. This is deep right here. Verse number 6 says this. But when you ask for that wisdom, you must believe and not doubt. Don't ask and don't believe. You know why he says that? You know why James says that, the brother Jesus? You know why the Lord told him to say that? Because God's going to tell you some things that's going to sound crazy, bro. You're going to be, you ever pray? And then you be like, and when God give you, make you just get up. You don't even say amen. You pray, and God give you the answer, you just have to get up. Yeah, that wasn't the Lord right there. That was no. Let me tell you something. Be careful when the answer is easy for you. Be careful when the answer don't challenge you. See, because God will always challenge your soul relationship. He'll always challenge who your allegiance is to. He'll always challenge who your God is, what your God is. Watch this. And he'll always challenge your fears. So I'm locked up one time in the feds with a guy by the name of Julian. And if he lost in trial, he's going to do life. And I read his paperwork. I was the only person that he'd ever allowed to read his paperwork. I was a Muslim. He was a Christian. And we were, you know, he was a Christian preacher. I was a Muslim teacher. And he said, and so I read his paperwork. We were just the best of friends in there. And I said, Jules, they wanted to give him 36 months. He had been locked up 40-something. It would have been time served out of there. But if he lost, he was going to do the rest of his life. Get this. The crime was so heinous that he had never been in trouble before. But if he had lost, he was going to do the rest of his life in prison in the feds. And I said, but he had got saved for real in the feds. And I said, bro, why don't you just take it? 96, it's time served, you go home. You know what bro said? He said, I prayed about it. I said, yeah? He said, God don't get no glory out of plea. God don't get no glory out of plea. He says, when I walk away from here, they need to be able to say it was God. That man went to trial, did wrong, and walk out of there. God don't get no. So sometimes when you're praying and the easy route is the route you want to take anyway, and it's you get that in your head, it's probably not God. God gets no glory in easy. If I just do it, what I need God for? But God will call you to things that call for your strength. Ain't that right? He'll call you for things that's going to have, you got to have a strength in God. You've got to have a faith in God. You have to be rooted and grounded in God. Because ain't no way in the world that we're going to be able to carry out what some of God is telling us to do, what any of God is telling us to do, if we don't have faith. It's too real. What did they say? They said, Jesus started saying hard things and the disciples started walking away from him. Can't nobody do this. I'm out. Hey, can't nobody do this. I'm done. Jesus looked around and said, oh, so everybody done left but y'all. What's up? And they said, we with you. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his. Baby, it ain't never going to be easy, and it be God. But it gets easier to be in God as you begin to have faith in these hard times and situations. Lord, ask God. He says, but when you ask, don't be asking me and then don't believe. You know how many people around you stop trusting God on the strength of your not trusting God? Do you know how many people around you never trusted God because you claim to be in God but never trust God? And when it comes time for you to make decisions that should be made on the strength of God, you make decisions on your carnality, on your flesh, watch this, on your cowardice. In other words, on your fear. So some of the worst situations that you find yourself in is not because the situation was so worse, it was because the decision that you made was made out of fear. You were scared. And you're still paying for it. The Bible says that God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Power. So don't make no never mind what it is that's coming up against me. You ought to be able to operate in it in power. It amazes me that when we were in the world, before we were saved, you know, you understand what I'm saying to you? Nothing scared us. And if it did, we took care of it. But we get in the kingdom and all of a sudden we're scary. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Now how you now this is why it's important, single people, and coming back to the married people here in a second. This is why it's important that when you are dating, you have to make decisions that are of God. Because if you got somebody that is not godly, then you got people that are not going to be confident in their decision making. See, what you don't ever want to have to do is go, baby, what are we going to do? I don't know. What are we going to do? Hold on. You, the head of the house of Christ, is the head of the church. You, as long as you're in the presence of God, you should have some answers. And when you tell her what the answer is, watch this, because she's in the presence of God, her spirit ought to affirm or confirm or be at one with the decision, because you follow, oh God, him as he follows Christ.
But if every time you turn around, you got to make the decision. If every time you turn around, you got to be the one that, you know, pays me. You're the one. Something wrong, baby. There's an unequally yoking going on. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one, and who wants to be in a relationship where you're strong one minute and weak the next? When you already got to go ahead and work it out in your head, because you know it ain't going to be worked out at home unless you work it out in your head. Do you understand the stress that lays on your shoulders in a marriage like that? So one of the first things you do, single people, when you're starting to court, when you're starting to date one another, you're starting to feel some type of way about this person, is the first question you ought to ask is not where you work, but do you believe in God? Do you have a relationship with God? And can I just go ahead and bless you and tell you what the second question ought to be? Where you go to church? Because if you go to Candyland Baptist, you understand, oh, God. Did I say that? I'm going to finish it. If you go to Candyland Baptist, rest time, you ain't been taught what you need to be. If you go to Everybody Sin Pentecostal, you understand what I'm saying to you? Then hold on, because your teachings might not line up with what I need when I think about family. Yeah, you got to ask questions that show that you have a relationship that you, and watch this, and when you ask these questions and they get uneasy, red light, get rid of them. Or when you ask them a question and they tell you some dumb answer confidently, you know, you're trying to rap, yeah, how old are you, Paulie, Charlie? You know, that's dope. Get away. You got a bank account? No. I mean, I got a couple bank accounts, but you know, I owe. Hold on, why we gotta go Walmart? You got a bank account. We'll see what happens. Woo! Yeah. Well, what do you mean you can't go back? That means that you might not pay your bills. Uh-uh. And you want kids? Oh, you got kids. It would do you some good to get in the inbox of some of these ex-girlfriends. Oh, am I talking to her? Some of these boyfriends. Hey, dog, will she split your daughters? Will she show up your job crazy? Listen, I've been messing with this boy for about 2 weeks and about a month now, and I ain't seen your kids yet. Can you tell me why? And I'm not trying to be in your business, honey. I'm just trying to understand. And I don't need you to lie. I just need you to tell me, is this not a good investment right here? And when she writes you back with a whole list to take you 10 minutes, that ain't made up. You better listen. I ought to charge y'all for some of this. Listen. Have you ever been in a relationship where you're here one day, you're there the next day? One minute you're happy, when the next minute you're sad, and the next minute you understand something. You know what that is? Being blown and tossed by the wind. Why? Because that person is not stable in their mind. Why? Because they don't have a faith in God. They have a faith in flesh. This is real. Now let's take it. We're out. We're done. We're done. Give me the amplified and we're out of here. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of the giving God who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly. I'm going to talk to him a little bit more. But can you give me the one in the Amplified Classic? The Amplified Classic. That's the one I want to use. How does he know that's not the one? Because I read the Bible. You should be in church to the point where when you read a scripture and go, that ain't the version, but the version that I'm looking for is in the version that I'm looking for. But if you say, well, who would get into it like that? The same one that gets into the game like that. The same one that gets into shopping like that. The same one that gets into their hair like that. The same one that gets into, if you don't get into the word like you get into the world, then baby, you in trouble. Lord have mercy. Amplified class. Let me know what we got. Pulse back and forth. 1 minute we, and then, okay, so let me just one more. Let me bless you some more. Married people, stop giving over your identity when you get married. Because your identity was never to be in your husband. Your identity was to be in Christ. Your identity was never to be in your wife. Your identity was to be in Christ. And so sometimes you should listen when people say, you got married and got funny, because some of that's true. some of us get married and get sick, we lose ourselves. And when you lose yourself, you're going to lose everybody else. You know, some of the things you need. Is this my one? That's all we got? We'll work with it. Watch this. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, let him ask of a given God. You know, I ain't got to do that. I got technology. Amen. I got technology. I don't need to tell me. I got, maybe all you got, Chief. I got a little more. Amen. She's going to take a look at me later on. You better believe that. We're going to go over to James real quick, and I'm going to get y'all out of here. Amen. Y'all going to get out of here earlier than you usually do. Hallelujah. All right. Right there. Yeah. Yeah. My wife said this wasn't worth it. Yeah. All right. Y'all ready? Here we go. If any of you lack wisdom to guide him through a decision or circumstance, you catch that? If you don't have the wisdom to get you through the circumstance or the decision that you have to make, watch this. He is to ask of our benevolent God. In other words, in the church everybody don't get excited, we don't have a benevolence committee because that would mean that you have extra money. Benevolence means he's giving. He's on supply. He's able to give you. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so it says, ask of our benevolent God who gives to everyone generously without rebuke or blame, and it will be given him. So without rebuke or blame. So watch this. Even when you're needing a decision or wisdom on something that you've done wrong, he's not going to get into the blame game. He's going to give you the wisdom that you need to come out of the situation as unscathed as possible. He doesn't have to blame you, because by the time that you come to him asking him for wisdom out of it, you already know you shouldn't have done it. And wisdom should stop you from ever doing it again. Okay, watch this. But he must ask for wisdom in faith without doubting God's willingness to help. So in other words, you might ask me for something, and I might give it to you, but not the way that you thought I would. Remember, what was that? Who was that? They went and he said, go baptize yourself in the river of, he thought it should have been the river of Jordan. And so he was, huh? Thank you. And he was saying, you know, what about the big river? What about the prestigious river? What about that, you know? And he was saying, if you want to be healed, you do what I ask you to do. See, how many of you are willing to do, to get from God what you need from God, no matter where God takes you to get it? How many of you are willing to do that? To get from what you need, to get from God what you need, how many of you are willing to go where he's trying to take you? Because it won't be easy. Because he wants to see your faith. Amen? So he says here, we're done. He says here, he says you'll get it without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him, but he must ask for wisdom and faith without doubting God's willingness to help. For the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown about and tossed by the wind. He says, for such a person ought not think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord. Single people, married people, listen to me. So if you're not connected to someone who is operating in the things of God and the power of God, that does not have faith in God, you will always be, this is your life. It's your life right now. And it's going to be your life. You know why? Because unless he or she gets some faith and gets serious about the things of God, here's your life. Here's the problem with that. This is your children's life. You understand what I'm saying? Anybody who's truly connected to you, this is their life. Watch this. And guess when this ends? Never. Because his Bible says, you don't have a right to expect anything, and especially not my wisdom, because when I gave you my wisdom, you didn't want it. When I gave you my wisdom, you took my wisdom and ran it past man who wasn't saved, and man who wasn't saved told you that was crazy, and you deemed me crazy and left me alone. How many times has it happened? And I feel like the Lord is telling me, and they tell you it's crazy, and you go, yeah, it's crazy. In other words, yeah, God's crazy. church girl who ain't church. Man, if you meet a woman who she's so into God, but you got it on the second, third date, you know, she ain't into God. Get on away from her. She's playing games, and she gonna be okay with your game playing stuff, and y'all ain't never gonna get nowhere. Anybody wanna join the church? I'm in this church. These are hard things. Married people, it's time for you to sit down and have a serious conversation with your mate and say, listen here, we can't keep on